traded a palace for a stable to be born, removed a royal diadem to receive a crown of thorns, exchanged the praises of angels for the mockery of men. This is heaven's hero, my Savior, Lord, and friend.
Heaven's hero, I will follow. He is the captain of the free. He will champion my tomorrow.
For a debt I could not pay. He's the one in the present, the ending and the start. The one, the only hero is the hero of my heart.
Heaven's hero, I will follow.
Thank you, Ryan. Good job this morning. Certainly good to see everybody in our service this morning. We are glad that you're here today with us, and we want to try to be a blessing to you. We've been locked in a series this summer entitled All These Things. This morning we'll be introducing part number 5 of All These Things. We've looked at all these things in regard to different individuals in the scripture. We looked from the perspective of a pessimist, that individual who, nothing's ever right, everything's always wrong, nothing's ever good, everything is bad, and, you know, what's the point? We all die anyway. And then we looked at the idea of the optimist. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Including I can endure all things. Then we considered the idea of the perspective of the historian, the Apostle Paul, who reminded us of the things that happened in the Old Testament, which happened as examples that we might know how to live, that we might not make the same mistakes that our forefathers made, that we might not go through the same bruises that they did by listening to the Word of God and adhering and paying attention to what is said. Then we considered from the perspective of the master teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who after he had spoken parables to the people, he asked his own apostles, those closest to him, "Do you understand all these things?" And so we talked about the importance of parables and the lessons that the Lord was speaking. Then we looked from the perspective of a mother, Mary, Jesus' mother, and we split that into two parts. Last week we talked about the second part of the perspective that a mother has of her child. This morning we want to introduce part number five, the perspective of our great commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ, that great hero, that great captain who is our leader. And I want you to remind you that when Joshua was leading, getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, just before they crossed the Jordan River, just before they conquered Jericho, there was what Joshua considered to be an angel who appeared unto him. Joshua did not recognize him. And he asked the question, "Are you with us or are you against us?" And the answer was, "You don't get it. I'm the captain of the host. And I'm going to lead the battle." It was none other than the great I Am, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we want to look at the perspective of things this morning from the eyes of the great commander-in-chief. Some 11 and a half years ago, when I was still at Summit Electric Supply, I was an employee there for 13 and a half years. The Lord had been dealing with me for some time to become interim pastor of this church. And I had some associates that I work with that were Christians. And I went to him one of them one morning, one young man, because I needed to tell them that I would be leaving. And I said, "I've got some news. I have been reactivated by the commander-in-chief." He looked at me and he said, "George Bush has reactivated you?" "No, you idiot. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has reactivated me into his full-time service." Are you listening to the commander-in-chief? Are you doing the things that God wants you to do? So I want you to stand with me, if you would please, this morning to the book of Romans. Open your scripture, if you would please, to chapter number 8. And we'll begin to read in verse number 1. Follow along with me, if you would please. If you need a copy of the Word of God, there's one under the chair in front of you. You're welcome to use that while you're here. Please just return that after you're done, if you would, so others can use it and enjoy it. Follow along with me as we read from the scripture. "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us so. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings this morning. I pray, dear God, that your Holy Spirit will let me speak freely today, that he may speak through me to the hearts and lives of people that are here today. Dear God, that they would hear the words that you want them to hear. Lord, that the saved would be lost, and Lord, that the unchurched would be churched. Dear God, that you would have your will and way in everything that's said and done, that it would be done to your honor and glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you, and be seated, if you would please. So this morning, we want to take a look at this idea of all these things. We've challenged you with the thought as we've gone through this series of lessons, of messages, of how many times in the Scripture do you hear the statement, all these things, or a variation of this particular thing. So there in verse number 31, the Apostle Paul says, what shall we then say to these things? What things? All these things. Now go with me, if you would, please go back to verse number 18 for just a moment. Notice what the Apostle Paul writes. He says, for I reckon that, you suppose he was a Texas boy? I reckon. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. When you consider all the things that happen in the lives of a Christian, have you learned yet in your Christian experience that not every day is Disneyland? Have you figured that out yet? Are you disappointed because every day is not, you're not, you know, up? Everything's not, you know, looking up? I went home yesterday afternoon and my wife began to tell me about her day that she had. You ever have one of those days when just everything you touch just seems to fall apart? And you wonder, should I just go back to bed? You know, is this just one of those days that it'd just be more productive if I just went back to bed and just cover my head and just forget the whole thing? You have had those days. I've had them. You've had them. Nothing seems to work. I mean, it just, you know, and I think sometimes the Lord wants us to remember that we need him. That without him, we can do nothing. And just as Joshua learned, as he was anticipating going into the promised land of what God was going to do, he needed to be reminded by the commander-in-chief, Joshua, there is no victory without me. There is no overcoming the enemy without me. Joshua, it is not you that is going to do it. It is Jesus Christ. And so we need to understand that today. For the creature in verse number 20 was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Have you learned yet that without Jesus Christ in the center of your life, all of life is vanity? Is that not exactly what Solomon said? Were those not the words of the richest man who has ever lived? There's never been another man who has ever lived who has enjoyed the wealth of Solomon. And yet Solomon had to say, everything is vain. When you take God out of the equation, nothing matters. That's why the soul and the spirit crave something that man cannot fill. There are needs in this ministry this morning that only Christ can fill. And we need to understand that today. We need to raise Him up. We need to lift Him up, because He is the one who makes the difference. He is the one who leads the battle. And so we need to be aware of that today. Because in verse number 21, the creature, and that's creation, shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption or decay into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You cannot accomplish your salvation on your own. It is a gift from Almighty God. That is the only way that it comes. It only comes by faith. For we know, verse 22, that while the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, if you haven't groaned yet, before you get to heaven, you will. You'll know what it's like to groan. You'll know what it's like to get up in the morning and wonder if things are going to work. You know, if those legs are going to move. If you're going to make it through the day. And some days I get up and I think, oh God, I need you. I need you today. I need you right now. I need your strength, because my strength is weak. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Notice the capital S. That is the Spirit of the living God. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I was not born a Christian. I was adopted into the family of Almighty God, because my flesh, just like yours, was corruptible, sinful, full of arrogance, full of pride, full of the things that would bring me down. But God offered me adoption through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of it, we who have trusted Jesus by faith, we have that wonderful promise one day of the redemption of the body. Now, there's lots of things in life that can happen to a body. It can be hurt. It can be brutalized. All sorts of things can happen to it. But there's one thing that doesn't change for the Christian. One of these days, we're going to have the redemption of this body. It will be made perfect one of these days. Verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. I like what Brother Larry said this morning during Sunday school about, you know, we always make that statement about seeing is believing. No, it's not. Faith produces the result. That's what Paul is saying right here. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? If you've got it in your hands, you're not going to hope for it. Hope is something you can't see. You try to visualize it. You try to anticipate it. But then you see the reality of the hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, see, we don't see Jesus this morning. Only through the Scripture do we see Him. Only through the Scripture do we see Jesus. He is our great hope. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. One of these days we're going to see the realization of our hope when we are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful day that is going to be. When we see the reality of our faith, when we see the reality of our hope, we've served Him, we've lived for Him, we've endured, we've overcome things, we've become stronger in faith because of Christ and because of His Word, and one of these days we will see the realization of it. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, there's that a capital S again, the Holy Spirit, itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Are you ever so overwhelmed with need in your life or something that you're going through that you just don't even know how to put the words together? Maybe you're desperate over someone that you're praying for their salvation. Maybe you're desperate over the healing of someone in your life. And you can't even put the words together. The Holy Spirit knows that, and He intercedes on our behalf. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So then when we see these things in verse number 31, and He's asking the question, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now what that literally is saying is this: if God is for us, who can successfully be against us? Because you know just as well as I do, we're going to be bombarded the moment that we attempt to do anything for Jesus Christ. We are going to be bombarded with all kinds of thoughts. We are going to be bombarded with all kinds of obstacles to try to deter us, to try to defeat us. Satan is going to do everything that he can. But let me help you to understand, when you persist, when you move forward in faith, he will not successfully be against you, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So understand this morning, we win. We win the battle because of our great commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Understand that today. So when we look at all these things this morning, I want to look at them from the perspective of our great commander-in-chief. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not be with him also freely give us all things? I've told you so many times that if you are in the center of God's will, He will provide the things that you need for ministry. God will help you. God will help you to win the battle, because it's His battle. The battle is the Lord's this morning. It's not ours. It is His. We get the wonderful privilege of watching Jesus work. Remember when Jesus performed His first miracle? Do you know why He turned the water into wine? Do you know why He did that? He did it so that the apostles would connect the dots. And there in John chapter 2, verse number 11, that it says that many believed on Him because of the miracle. What does that mean? It means that they're following this prophet. They believe he's told them that he is the Son of God. He's told them that he is the promised Messiah. They are trusting in him. But to this point, he hasn't performed miracle. And so he turns water into wine. He does the impossible. And as a result, the apostles get it. They actually get it. This guy is the Son of God. Have you ever had those moments, those epiphanies, when there's no doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I mean, you followed him by faith, but you've never witnessed a miracle in your life. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he does something. And you get it. He truly is the Son of God. He truly is the miracle worker. He truly is the one. He is the great commander in chief. From time to time, we see those things and we experience those things and how wonderful they are. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Think about that. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is making intercession for us. How can we lose? We cannot. When we are in the center of God's will. Notice what it says here, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I think that's a valid question. Who can separate us from the love of Christ, this great captain of our salvation? Do you understand that this morning? Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is our great captain today. He is the captain of our salvation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he gives some examples. Shall tribulation? Have any of you been through tribulation in your life? Times of difficulty? Times when you didn't know if, you know, everything was going to work out? Times in your life when you had more questions than you had answers? Well, let me tell you something. If you have Jesus Christ, you have hope. You have hope. As I look around this room this morning, there's a number of people that are hurting. And I want to tell you this morning that Jesus cares. I want to tell you today that Jesus knows about it. And he's wanting you to look to him. Not to look to your own resources, because your own resources will fail you. Not to look to your own abilities, because your own abilities will leave you shallow. He wants you to look to him. He wants you to bring those things to him, because he can handle it. He can take care of it this morning. Shall tribulation or distress? You ever been distressed? Many of you know that we have two chihuahuas. How did that ever happen? I never wanted a chihuahua. Never in my life did I ever want a chihuahua. And I love those little guys. My wife had to take him to the vet this week. Eduardo is depressed. What in the world does he have to be depressed about? He eats better than I do. He gets more attention than I do. What in the world does he have to be depressed about? You let there be one thunder clap. Whoa, he's gone. He's shaken. I mean, he's just all upset. He is in distress. So this vet says, fine, I'm going to prescribe you an antidepressant for Eduardo. I've never taken an antidepressant in all my life. And we're giving antidepressants to Eduardo. I might start taking those things. I don't know. Antidepressants for dogs. Oh my goodness, what is this world coming to? Distress. Persecution. Persecution. We had a missionary family with us this last Wednesday night, and if you missed that, I'm telling you, you missed a blessing. We do not know what persecution is in America. We don't. We just don't. No one threatens my life if I witness. No one reports me to the authorities if I witness. No one tries to put me in jail or have me killed if I share my faith. And here these bold missionaries are sharing the gospel under the threat of being killed for their faith. Sharing their faith. And I'm thinking, do I really have an excuse not to witness? Whoa. Persecution. I'm talking real persecution, folks. Real stuff. Real stuff. And Paul says, let me tell you something. Tribulation? Psst, that's nothing. Distress? Take an antidepressant. Persecution? Did Paul know about persecution? Yes, he did. Famine. I've never known what it was like a day in my life to not have food to eat. It's been days that I didn't feel like eating. But I've never gone hungry. Nakedness, or peril, or sword. Our great captain is able to take care of all these things. He is able to help us. He is able to help us to overcome. He is able to help us to endure. He is able to help us to get through all these things. Verse 36 says something interesting. As it is written. Now, any time that you see that recorded in the Word of God, that means that somewhere else in the Scripture, more than likely in the Old Testament, especially if you see it in the New Testament, it was already recorded before. Notice what he says. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Let's go back to Psalms chapter number 44 for just a moment. Psalm chapter number 44, the psalmist begins the first 8 verses of the psalm praising the Lord. Thanking him for his goodness, for his blessings. And then all of a sudden you come to verse number 9. Notice the first word. What is it? But. But. If anybody is ever singing your praises, and then they follow it up by saying, but. You're about to get your lunch. But. Notice verse number 9. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. So he pivots from praise to complaining. Look at verse number 10. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they hate us, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. In other words, God, you're letting the evil ones have the victory over us. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Now that's hard on a Jew to not make profit. Lord, you're losing money on this deal. And you don't even seem to care. What's up with this? Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head amongst the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forsaken thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. I really wonder about that. I really wonder if the psalmist is being totally honest here at this point. Our heart is not turned back, really. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. Now let me ask you a question. Did not God promise in his word that if they would follow him, that he would prosper them? Did he not tell them that? So what's going on here? He also went on to say that if you go away from me, if you turn from me, if you go your own way, then I will let the enemy devour you. So the psalmist isn't quite, you know, he's complaining to God. You would never do that. You're far too spiritual for that. You would never complain to God. I know you. You would never do that. Verse 18. Our heart is not turned back, neither our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out thine hand to a strange God, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Now he's starting to get somewhere. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. There's the quote. The psalmist is complaining that we're just like sheep. And we're slaughtered all the day long. And you don't even care. As much as the Jews struggled, I think at that point they had never gone through what the Jews did in World War II when 6 million of them were murdered. All because they were Jews. But let me declare to you this, that good came out of that. Because after that horrible event, God brought forth a nation. And for almost 70 years, next May, Israel will acknowledge 70 years back in the land. So out of all this evil that they went through, God brought forth this nation of Israel again. Rebirthed the nation of Israel. Everybody wants Israel. Everybody wants to control Israel. If you were to look at a map of Islam and all the territories that they have around tiny little Israel. Israel, in comparison, is just a tiny little speck in regard to the Islamic nations. Yet they have to have Israel. Why? Because it's God's chosen nation. Had somebody in our church services recently who asked me why I wear a pin acknowledging Israel. Because I believe God. I believe what it says in Genesis chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3. That if you will bless the nations that will bless Israel, God will bless those nations. and those Israel's those nations that will not bless Israel, God will cause them to suffer. And that's a paraphrase. Israel is the apple of God's eye. He is going through a microcosm of what will eventually come. He says, yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He goes on to say, awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bound down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. I wonder if that's where that statement came from, lower than a snake's belly. You ever heard that? You ever feel lower than a snake's belly? That's low. But let me help you to understand something. We have a great captain. And his name is Jesus Christ, and he can raise you up. He can exalt you. He can bring you out of that abyss. He can bring you out of all that trouble that you're in. He can soothe that hurting heart. He can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Verse number 26, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. When you get as low as you can get, remember that. If God will help you for no other reason, he will help you because he is merciful. He has promised in his word to all those who will look to him in faith that he will be merciful to you. To all those who will look to him in faith and confess their sin and ask for forgiveness, he will be merciful. Aren't you glad for that? Our great captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back. Romans chapter 8, verse number 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hold up your head this morning, child of God. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful encouragement this morning. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, there isn't anything that has existed or that will exist that will be greater than the love of Almighty God. Our great captain, the head of the host, Jesus Christ, he is our salvation. He will help us. He will bring us along. And he goes on to say, nor height nor depth. I mean, you can't, there is no place that you, high enough that you can go from the love of Almighty God. There is no place at all. There is no depth that you can go to that you will not sense his presence. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen to me a moment. You might be discouraged this morning. You might be despondent because of something that's happened in your life. Let me tell you who helped you this morning. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, our great captain, the captain of the host. The captain that one day is going to ride upon a horse and is going to lead the victory against all evil. I've read the last chapter. We win. We win. There isn't anything that the enemy can do that Jesus Christ can't deliver. He is greater than the devil ever thought he could possibly be. The devil just wishes. He just bluffs. Why don't you call his bluff this morning? Why don't you tell him, Satan, you go on back to hell where you belong because I belong to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am on the winning team. I am on the winning side. I am the victor today, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ, our great captain. So Paul says, don't you worry about all these things, persecution. Don't you worry about famine. Don't you worry about peril. Don't you worry that the health care plan didn't get repealed. Don't you worry about it. God is in control. Jesus Christ, one of these days, is going to come back and he's going to set this world straight. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. I am looking forward to that day. And all those who reject Jesus Christ will pay the worst penalty they've ever paid because they trusted in themselves. They trusted in their wealth. They trusted in their fame. They trusted in their properties. And I'm telling you, my Savior owns it all. He owns it all. And my book tells me that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything that belongs to him belongs to me. It's all going to be reversed one of these days. No death. It is going to be wonderful. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, Father. Help us today. Help us not to be despondent. Help us not to be depressed. Help us not to be discouraged, but help us to walk by faith. I pray for the salvation of souls this morning. If there's anybody within the sound of my voice who doesn't know your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, I pray, dear Lord, that they would come to know him today. Lord, if there's people here this morning who don't have a church home, we'd love to talk to them about that. Lord, would you please bless this invitation? Have your will and way. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.